Welcome to All Will Stand's Back to the Basics radio program and also podcast found on allwillstand.org. The show is broadcast via shortwave throughout much of Africa and also available at any time. You can just go to allwillstand.org, click on podcast, and go ahead and listen to it or download it or send it to other people, however. So we've been talking about the miracles of Jesus. It's really a great thing to talk about. And by the way, I'm your host, Tim Metzger from Rapid City, South Dakota. Well, we were talking about in the last show, and we were going over, and we're talking about these two blind men that Jesus healed and they could see again. Today, we want to focus, the point of it is, we need to focus more on that. Let's focus more on that. We're going to look, and for this, we're going to look at John chapter, beginning with chapter 9. We're going to look at the whole chapter, actually. We're going to look at John chapter 9. And got to get through that today. It's very important because this signifies, I went over Isaiah chapter 42, I believe, verse 6 through 7 in last week's show, which was talking about how God is saying, you know, he's going to send somebody, which is Jesus, his son, and he's going to open the eyes of the blind. This Jesus is God in the flesh, and this is the, quote, great prophet, that the light that had went among men, right here, and it's being fulfilled. It was fulfilled at that. We're reading about the fulfillment of it. These leaders should have been able to recognize that. And Jesus is going to tell them here in John chapter 9, verses 5, that he is the light of the world. We can see in Isaiah chapter 42, I believe, verse 7, that the light will come. So right here, this should have answered. Those who studied the scriptures, those who studied the law, that Christ was a fulfillment. So these are the religious leaders of the day, and they should have been able to clearly recognize that, of course, the prophecies were also fulfilled, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and that he rose again from the dead. And we will get into that in the future. Right now, we're going to focus today on this, another miracle, and there's a lot in here. We're going to keep it basic, but it's to keep it nice and easily understood by everyone, because it's something that needs to be known, because Jesus wasn't just somebody. There are people nowadays who have followings, and indeed there are sometimes that Satan will also use demonic powers, that some of these quote religious people will actually do some sort of miracles. They can do stuff. I heard a preacher, it's in this is a sermon, actually it was from David Cloud, and he's talking, and he's saying, and he's a missionary in Nepal, and I think he was preaching at his church when this happened, and there was somebody in there, and he said there's this man that came there, was demon possessed, and I think he levitated, and then he's like, no, he did levitate, because it's something that, you know, like, really, it can actually happen. Well, so there are false signs and wonders, and those come from, they're demonic in nature. They come from Satan. And so there can be some things that can happen. I mean, this stuff does happen. We're not going to get into depth into it, but there are sometimes things that happen. But you have to use the Bible as your guide. Okay, so this is one of the things where Jesus, essentially by what he's doing and what happens afterwards with this miracle, is these people could use the Bible as a guide. Because if we're going to judge something, if we're going to say, is that of God or not, well, how are we going to judge this? Well, if we don't know our Bibles, it's going to be very difficult, right? Unless we go to somebody who truly does know their Bible. But we're going to have to use the Bible as our guide. The Bible, we're going to examine everything by the Word of God. Because as we went over with the one show talking about the Bible, that's the only, if we want truth, that's the only absolute truth that we have. every word, if it's a good translation, every single word from Genesis all the way through Revelation, we can wholeheartedly believe and know to be true, and we don't have to question it. And yes, sir, we could spend our life looking into stuff, you know, oh, well, this isn't true, that isn't true. And then we could look at, for instance, evolution. We could study ministries of, like, ICR.org, the Institute for Creation Research, and we could be like, oh, no, I see, okay, no, the Bible is true. Okay, now you've explained it, now I understand it. Now I have an answer to the naysayers. It would be just much easier to say, you know what, this is God's word. It is true. We're going to believe it no matter what, until when somebody says something, we can just plug our ears and say, don't say nothing. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe his word. But if we challenge it and we take the time and we say, well, no, that's, I don't know what to say. I don't have an answer. Or somebody's like, no, don't believe God's word because of this. You're a fool. Well, and then we take a look and just, you know, study it. Like, for instance, an evolutionary question, you know, the false theory of evolution. Come back to it. I find that to be a waste of time. It'd be much easier just to believe God's word. But nonetheless, these resources are out there for a reason to answer those questions. And so here we're going to get into these religious people of the day, these Pharisees, these scribes. If they could have disproven this from the scriptures, they would have had all the right in the world to kill Christ. But he wouldn't have been the Christ. He would have been the false Christ. Like I said, you are a false Christ. You are not the Messiah because the Bible says this. The Bible says this. But instead, what they're going to have known is, and their hearts are going to have been darkened, they're going to have closed their ears. They're going to have shut their eyes, not want to see this for various reasons of which we're not going to get into. And not knowing the fullness of the hurt anyway. But the evidence was there that no. The scripture says, the scriptures point, and this is just one of the many scriptures that would have told them that no, this is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. So let's go ahead and get right into it. John chapter 9, verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the work of God should be revealed in him. It is necessary for me to work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one is able to work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. So, not going to get into depth, nor do I have all the answers as into why Jesus didn't say, just simply say that he went through all this and the man came back seeing. But what we're going to get into is here, is that this man was blind. He didn't sin. His parents didn't sin. As Jesus says, that the work of God should be revealed in him. So this man was being used by God for this very purpose. Well, let's see what that purpose is. And you know, so remember, God, for all of us, God has a purpose for us, for a purpose for our lives. We might not know. In fact, we're not going to fully understand it. We just simply, for us who are saved, and for those who are about ready to become saved, understand that when you do, if you do repent towards God and by faith believing that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, God does have a plan for you. He has something planned, and it's been planned your whole life. So this man comes back seeing. He goes and he listens to Jesus. He washes in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent, and he comes back seeing. John chapter 9, verse 8. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. So, you know, I mean, it's so amazing. I mean, people, they look at it. It's in the blind man. That's a guy that begs over there. And I mean, I think it's so unbelievable. Others are like, no, it's like him. I mean, you know, like, I'm like, God, you can't see. Well, the man answers, says, I am he. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. So you got to remember, this man, and this may be the reason that the clay was made, one of the reasons at least, is this man hasn't actually seen Jesus. He knows his name. He went to the pool, he washed, and he could see. So if Jesus had just simply said, or touched him, or just simply said, see, or touched him and he saw, he would have seen Jesus. But in this case, because he went, he didn't see him. So now people are saying to him, so if there was a big crowd like there was in other places, you know, they would have known, everyone would have known. But this man comes back, and is he just sitting somewhere? I'm not sure. I mean, imagine, he must be in a great mood. Like, he can see. Or maybe he's just, like, dumbfounded. But, so, they brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees, verse 13. And it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. So, this is something where, you know, we get into a technicality of the Sabbath. If you ever were to study this, you will see that Jesus repeats all the Ten Commandments except for the Sabbath in the New Testament. The Sabbath is something for the Jewish people. And God created it for the Jewish people. He never created it for the Gentiles. But, you know, we do have the Lord's Day, Sunday, where, generally speaking, is a time where, historically, most people who call themselves Christian have went to church on that day. Totally different topic, of which we're not going to get into at this point. But, verse 15, then the Pharisees asked him again how he received his sight. He said to him, he put clay in my eyes and I washed and I see. Therefore some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. And so they don't even know themselves what's going on here, because they would know Isaiah. They would know the book of Isaiah. They would have had that. And so the question is there. Others said, verse 16, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? Well, that's a good question, because it doesn't make sense. I mean, how can you say he's a sinner? He doesn't keep the Sabbath, but yeah, he does this. So, verse 17, now they're asking the blind man. So they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received the sight until they called the parents of him who had received the sight. Okay, so, I mean, wouldn't that be the logical conclusion? Okay, there's a problem here. How can this man do such things? Oh, no, there's got to be a division. No, he's a sinner. No, he's not. How can he be? Okay, maybe the problem is this guy in front of us is just lying. Let's go ask his parents. So, verse 19. And they asked him, saying, is this your son whom you say was born blind? And how then does he now see? That's a good question, right? So, verse 20. His parents answered him and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him, he will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone should confess that he was Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So already this is known among people. The religious Jews are saying, hey, we're going to expel you from the synagogue if you confess that he was Christ. So, right there, opening the eyes of the blind, there is a prophecy being fulfilled, and that says this is the coming one. As we went over in the last show, speaking of John the Baptist, who said, is this the coming one? And the response was, his disciples saw Jesus healing all these people, including the blind, and says, go and tell John the things you have seen. That was the answer. Because, yes, of course he is, because there is the Bible to answer that question. It's not Jesus didn't say, yes, I am the coming one. As I'll throw in that Donald Trump said, very scary. It's, you know, you can go get the free book, Repent, up on allwellstand.org. That shows how easily the real could be deceived. But, you know, the thing here is Jesus didn't say, yes, I am the coming one. No, he showed through signs, through the healings, in anyone who knew the Old Testament prophecy would have said, okay, through the word of God, we're able to say that, yes, this guy, this isn't just a prophet. This isn't just Muhammad, okay? This isn't just somebody else who in anywhere claims to be a prophet. This is somebody who's not just a great prophet, okay? This is the very Son of God. This is what's important. This isn't somebody who just does miracles, who does signs, who has a great following, who teaches good things or teaches things. No, this is the Son of God. This is not a great prophet. Jesus was not just a great prophet. He was the very Son of God. And it was these things right here where the healing of the blind was one of those things that clearly using the Bible to answer that would have told the religious leaders, no. This is the Messiah. Whether or not they wanted to hear that. So already, prior, the rumors are obviously out there, so that the Jews had agreed already, verse 22 of chapter 9 of John, if anyone should confess that he was Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. So already, people are saying this is a Christ. And the religious leaders saying, if you say that, you know, I mean, you're not going to be able to come to church no more. And of course, that is like, essentially, If you're a Roman Catholic and you are excommunicated from the Roman Catholic Church, you know, I mean, right there, I mean, you're in the mindset that you're heading to hell. I mean, if you're a Jehovah's Witness and you're excommunicated from the group, you know, this is to you a very serious thing. It's the same thing with the Mormons or any other religious group where you believe that is the way for however the eternity works in those things, in, you know, the afterlife, however, whatever may be taught. And so, back in the day, to be expelled from the synagogue would not only be an embarrassment to your whole community, think about that. I mean, think about it now, if you're, you know, you attend a Roman Catholic Church, if you attend a mosque, and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, people are like, you know what, if anyone who does this, or anyone who says this stuff, or even this radio show, especially, we'll talk about Muslims. There's quite a few Muslims who are in Islamic religion is alive and well in Africa. And if you were to sit there and say, no, Jesus wasn't just a good, great prophet, you know, he wasn't just a good teacher, he was actually the Son of God, he is the actual way, not Muhammad. You will find that, you know, if you're going to go down that road, not only may your life and limb be on the line, but your family won't talk to you. In fact, this happens in India with Hinduism, where people accept Christ as their savior. Sometimes their houses are burned, sometimes they're murdered, other times they're beaten. But they're oftentimes, especially in certain areas throughout India, they're oftentimes actually excommunicated from their family and friends because of such a profession of faith. And so basically what is being said here, his parents are afraid because the verse says in 22, they feared the Jews. And so, you know, they want to keep this, you know, and they want at the moment they're of the mindset, we're going to keep this to ourselves. We're not going to openly profess that we believe that Jesus is a Christ. I mean, if they had already pondered it, there's their son who says, where the rumors are already saying, you know, people are already saying, Jesus is a Christ, Jesus is a Messiah. There's their son standing before the religious leaders. They now know that he can see. And so the evidence right there is that, yes, Jesus is the Messiah. he is the Christ. So now, the parents, they're not going to get any further involved at that at the moment. They say, no, ask him. So what happens here? So John chapter 9, verse 24. So they again called a man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know this man is a sinner. Okay, so here you go. Basically, give God the glory. Okay, so think about this. We know this man is a sinner, speaking of Jesus. Give God the glory. Okay. How then would God, how can one give God the glory for having been blind and being able to see this great miracle? This is just, think about it. You're stage 4 cancer patient. Walk up to, you know, if you lived in that time, you wouldn't have been stage 4. You wouldn't have known what stage you were. But if you're dying and you don't even know why, likely back then, and you have some serious problems and you look like it, and you walk up and there's Jesus and he heals you, and all of a sudden, you're back to normal. And you're cast in, you're pushed in front of religious leaders, and they say, that man, we know he is a sinner. Give glory, give God the glory. Well, certainly, God does deserve the glory. Absolutely. Christ would point to God. Jesus would point to God. But, Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is the Son of God. But think about this. If in modern day, if you live back in that time frame and you had a problem, or you knew somebody had a problem, big problem, being blind is a big problem. It's a real problem. It's not a minor. And you're fixed, or you know somebody who's fixed, healed, miraculously, obviously, and the religious leaders, wherever they may be, say, no, this man's a sinner, give God the glory. That can't be. Because if that man is a sinner, how is it that God used that man? So if you want to glorify God, think about this. Okay, glorify God. You glorify God that you are now healed. This man could glorify God that he is now healed. He could glorify God and say, thank you for making me see. I glorify God. There is nothing wrong with that. But the problem is, how does he justify in his heart that God used a man, Jesus, a sinner, one who is basically to the point where they're saying if anyone says that he is a Christ, he's expelled from the synagogue. This is how what they think of him, think of Jesus. How is it that God, as you glorify God, would use this man who is absolutely, according to the religious leaders of the day, absolutely against them. He's absolutely a sinner. To the point where if you confess that he is Christ, you have nothing to do with him anymore. You are out. You are on the outside. So give glory to God. But God used him. That, I'm sorry, that doesn't make sense. That's not possible. So, they tell him to do that. Now the man's going to answer. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Amazing, right? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not hear. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you not also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. Then the man answered and said to them, why? This is marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. So I'm going to stop right there. Remember when we started off with this chapter, and his disciples said, Rabbi, in verse 2, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered in verse 3, of chapter 9. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. So now we're seeing that fulfillment. So why was this man born blind? Why did God allow this to happen? Well, let's back up here. And let's go here where the man replies again. And we'll just go there. The man answered, starting verse 30, and said to them, why, this is marvelous. So here's that fulfillment. That you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone reveres God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything. They answered him and said to him, you were born completely in sins, and do you teach us? And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe into the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that they may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking to you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he did homage to him. So, that was the end of verse 38. So now this blind man, he's giving glory to God. He's doing homage to the Son of God. He's doing homage to Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah. And he gave a testimony. And he gave a fulfillment found in Isaiah chapter 42. Where now the religious leaders are clearly without excuse. They may have been pondering, who is this man? Don't you dare say he's the Christ. Well, God knew this was going to happen. And here was this man who was born blind. And God used his very purpose. There is the fulfillment. There is the proof that this is the Messiah. And with this one little miracle, and it's not little, of course, but you compare it to all the great things that Jesus did throughout his ministry. And you have this one man and all this contention it causes. But it shows clearly because, once again, there's a lot of false prophets out there. There's some miracles that happen, but they're not of God. We need to weigh things against the Bible. And that tells us whether it was of God. So right here, it's answered. And let's go ahead and finish up this chapter with verse 39 through 41. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. So, that is one of the keys right here. Is the question is that needs to be answered is, who is Jesus? There are people in this world who honestly have never heard of him. But nowadays in the United States, many people have still heard of Jesus, the young people. And they know that he has something to do with God, or he is God, or... but they don't know much about him. And then you get into other countries where different religions are prominent and Jesus is still heard of. But they look at him as a great prophet. It's a different prophet. And they follow Muhammad, for instance, speaking to those who are in Africa. That's pretty common. But there's also the preaching of Christ in many English-speaking parts of Africa who are going to be the ones listening to a show predominantly. And but the thing is we need to understand the miracles, and the miracles point to us that Jesus is the Son of God, which means he, as we went over prior, he's the one that has authority to forgive sins. It is through him we repent towards God and by faith believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He who, as we will get into in the future, paid the penalty on the cross for our sins. Not just, you know, not just the Jewish people, but for all people, you included. And so here we have to go over the miracles and look at what Jesus' ministry was all about. Until next time, have a great week.